This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me, Brian Fernandez. You're listening to the Ringgit and Cents show. It's all about personal finance. Because it's a new year, and I'm sure you've either made or still struggling to make financial goals for yourself for this year. But is planning for this year enough? What about the long haul? Now, to help us understand what the long haul means in financial terms is Rajan Devadasan, CEO of RD Wealth Creation and Securities Commission, licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Rajan.
Good morning.
I want to begin with that first question, the long haul. I mean, how long is long?
Well, let me answer that by saying short can just be a year. It can also just be a month. But for me, because our lifespans tend to be denominated in a, you know, integer number of decades, right? I would say long haul would be a decade, a 10-year period. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, we're still very early in the new year. And some of us might, very, very few of us might still actually be able to say that we have kept to our resolutions. But most of us haven't. Most of us have basically failed.
But some of us are, I think, still refining our resolutions. We've set those resolutions already. We haven't sort of locked them in as well.
Yes, understandable. Thank you, Brian. It's like Sharad said, I talked about having multiple wallets, and Sharad said thinking about it. It's really very simple. Go to a store, Sharad. Buy another wallet. But anyway, if they need context, they can go listen to the podcast.
Yeah, of course they can. But I must say, I thought you meant it metaphorically, maybe even in terms of like bank accounts. I didn't really think you meant it literally. But let's go back to the conversation at hand, which is the long haul. You say a decade is, for you, an adequate or productive way of thinking about time in terms of financial planning. So when we do our financial planning for 2018, you're saying, do we run a parallel thought process around the decade from now, or are these separate, or should we combine them?
I think we should combine them. I'll give you a very simple example. The reason that you want to use a one-year period is because it's manageable. But we also want to have an opportunity to dream big. Let's say you are a young person and you have a significant amount of consumer debt right now. And your goal is to be out of debt. But you owe some relatives money. You owe money on a car. Maybe you've taken a 5 or 7 year loan. You perhaps have had a little bit of help from your parents and you have bought a home. And now you're looking at a 30-year mortgage and you're wondering, well, will I even live 30 years? And statistically, you will. But if you're young, 30 years seems like a very, very long time. So in that situation, if you take a one-year period and you know that your big dream is, I want to be out of debt, obviously, if your aggregate debt is, I don't know, $500,000 ringgit, let's say, you add the mortgage, you add the car, you add all the other little bits, you talk about the unpaid portion on your credit card, say $500,000 ringgit. And as a young person, let's say you're earning 50,000 ringgit a year. Obviously, it doesn't matter how much you try and save, you're not going to pay off all your debts in a single year. Everyone in the studio is nodding.
Absolutely.
But you're not just going to earn that 50,000 every year for the next decade. Hopefully you do very well. Maybe you will run things in parallel. We are in the gig economy. There are always other ways to make money. If you focus on your career, you should make more money as well. So I think it makes sense that even if you're looking at, say, $500,000 ringgit in aggregate debt, and you've got different tenures on the debt. The mortgage may be 30 years, the car loan may be 7 years. Your uncle, whom you owe 5,000 ringgit to, may say, it doesn't matter, pay me when you can. But you really just want to settle everything. You could say, okay, if I just look at the normal amortization table, it'll take me 30 years to pay everything off based on what I have. But can I be ambitious and can I say, I'd like to try and settle this in a decade? Now, that's a big dream. And so you could say, okay, I want to be out of debt in a decade, but there must also be carved out milestones. And so for the next year, there are a couple of goals that you could set for yourself. You could try to become better at your job. You could try and perform in such a way and take such close notes that when you have an evaluation with your boss and your boss says, okay, well, tell me why you deserve this promotion. And most of the your colleagues will probably just be plucking things from memory. And if you pull out a notebook and you actually say, well, okay, you asked me to do this and 7 months ago, and I delivered it 4 days under, you know, ahead of deadline, and I did it under budget, etc. And this is not the case of brown nosing. This is a case of, well, you know, ultimately I work for myself. You know, whether you're an employee or whether you run or own your own business, you're working for yourself, you're working for your family. And because of that, you have to take personal responsibility.
So, Rajan, one of the things I've done because of our last previous shows and some of the advice that you've given us is really about having the savings baskets.
Mm-hmm.
So, as at the start of the year, one of the things I did is I've done an I opened a new bank account.
Congratulations.
Okay, and the coins and loose notes.
You're talking about real coins, right?
Yeah, real coins as well, not Bitcoin. So it's a couple of things I've done. So it's three different new sort of savings and very small. So one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up is we could do really small things to start the whole process.
Absolutely.
So the coins, and I have a lot of coins every day at the end of the day for some reason, and I tend to reuse them. I've been keeping them. So I also then top that up with ringgit and 10 ringgit notes, whatever I have at the end of the day.
That's impressive.
I'm surprised at how much that has grown in just the first 10 days. So that's the first thing I did. I also opened a new account, a BSN account, so I'm not even going to take that money, right? The other thing I've also done a direct debit from my salary to increase my level of saving, and that goes into that BSN account.
Congratulations.
Okay, well done, little grasshopper. If you have any question or you want to pose Rajan a query about your own sort of situation, you can always WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll take that. We'll also open our lines, and and we'll give you the number shortly. Let's come back to the question of the practical steps you can take to make this decade-long program work.
I think you start off with a simple, single, clean piece of paper. Close your eyes, try and just get away from everyone. And there is a process that Brian Tracy, whom many people have heard of, talks about, and it's called back from the future thinking. And it's a case of just sitting down, finding a space for your mind and for your body where you're not stressed for a little while.
Back from the future.
Yes, back okay. From the future thinking. Okay. So that what you then do is you're in this quiet room and you're thinking, okay, if I have no limitations, I have no health limitations, I have no fitness limitations, I have no income limitations, if my world were perfect in every conceivable way, 10 years from now, what would it look like? Whom would I be married to? Where would I live? What kind of car would I drive? What charities would I be supporting? What new languages would I know? I think you get the idea.
Yeah, so this is kind of a visualization exercise. People say you kind of try and visualize the end point of something and it helps you actually get there.
Yes, but it's very specific. Mm-hmm. So you think about this. You select maybe the top five attributes or aspects of this perfect future, 2028, 10 years from now. Write it down. And then you, as always, once you've got that list, maybe take about a week or so, off and on, whenever you've got a little bit of time. Think about each one, prioritize, and then say, okay, so let's say I would like to own a house in Damansara Heights. And what are the milestones that I need to hit? What is the price of the kind of house I'm looking at today? What is the anticipated price a decade from now?
And that's an aspirational neighborhood. Oh, just to interject, Rajan, that the number to call if you have any questions or comments to make it 03-7710-9000. It's 7710-9000, and we'll take your call. We'll patch you through. Back to the Damansara Heights house with the swimming pool and at least two maids.
Oh, absolutely. So thank you, Sharad. Yeah. Thank you very much for giving us insights into your brain.
So my fantasies, really.
You can decide how you wish to dress your maids, but you know what you need to now then do is figure out, okay, step by step, how much of a down payment do I want to have a decade from now, mm-hmm. and how much of that is going to come from my own cash, how much is going to come from my EPF, If you feel that you're in a dead-end job right now and you think even in the best of circumstances, you're not going to be earning enough in a decade or maybe even 2 decades if you like, because you know, if you're just starting out at work, a decade to Damansara Heights is not very likely. 20 years, you can get an awful lot done. And that, I think, is the real concept. You do your back from the future thinking. You have an ideal future. You are very careful about selecting because you can only work on a few things. And then you decide on your year-by-year milestones. All of these are very fluid. But for the closest ones, the things that are in the very first year, you take actionable steps. And what Brian did was amazing. I'm so honored that you actually took some of my advice.
This is acolyte number one. We'll come back with a look at the reality checks on this fantasizing about the future. Our guest today, Rajan Devadasan, CEO, RD Wealth Creation, Securities Commission licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management. We'll be back. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. This is the Ringgit and Cents show this morning, a show that's all about personal finance. I'm Shaw Kutum with me, Brian Fernandez, and our guest this morning, Rajan Devadasan, CEO, RD Wealth Creation, Securities Commission licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management. We were talking about the long haul. We whittled it down to a decade, or at least a series of decades, and what is the next step. Brian, you have a question.
Yep. Rajan, one of the things that if I'm listening to the show right now, I would think, gosh, that sounds like a really intimidating process. You know, I've got to do all this detailed learning or planning and so forth to equip myself. So I've got the vision, but how do I get there? I'm not really sure how to do it and how I break it down. Do you think that perhaps getting people involved or friends or family involved in this process would help and help you think things through?
It might do, but it also depends on the social environment you're in. Many people feel that they have so-called friends who actually want to pull them down, and they don't want them to be too successful and don't want them to be too aspirational. So if you've got friends who, you know, cover the full gamut, the full spectrum, and some of them are very inspirational and they're the kinds of people who talk about, you know, maybe we don't have very much money now, so you're in the stalls at night, you're having your teh tarik, and you're saying, you know, it'd be nice to go visit Hawaii, let's say. And then they say, well, yeah, well, I mean, let's try and put together a plan in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. If you have that kind of group, definitely share your plans with them. But if you have others who say, you know, life is unfair, everything is so expensive, the government should pay for everything, but it doesn't, then you want to keep those plans away from them because they may actually be real downers.
You know, Gore Vidal, the American writer and intellectual, once said, every time a friend succeeds, something inside me dies.
A little. Dies a little. Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's a fascinating psychological dynamic there. Now, remember, if you have a question or a comment for Rajan, you can always call us, 77109000. That's a number to call, 77109000, and we'll patch you through. Great. So back to those questions.
Actually, while we're waiting for questions to come, can I just give you a series of structured steps that might actually make things a little clearer?
Yeah, that would be useful.
Well, very useful.
Okay, so let me go. So we have a tendency to overestimate what we can accomplish in a single year, and we tend to underestimate what we can do in a decade. And that's probably why we tend to lose heart over the one-year goals. I think the solution for us is to actually go very easy on ourselves for a long time and to simply learn to celebrate the small milestones. Okay, we all probably have a goal of, you know, I'd love to have ₹1 million in fixed deposits. Great. But before you can get to ₹1 million in fixed deposits, you've got to have 100,000. Before you can have 100,000, you've got to have 10,000. Before you can have 10,000, you've got to have 1,000. For God's sake, celebrate each point. Don't be so hard on yourself. Most people are not taking action at all. And the fact that you do, I think, is a reason to be kind to yourself. now.
Okay. We actually have some questions come in. We have one that says, not only young people listen to this session, what about people above 40? How do they plan for this stage? It's interesting because they've had several decades under their belt. Also, Berlinda wrote, she said, I'm a retiree, age 62. I have a couple of properties that give me a rental income. Still have my EPF, which I haven't withdrawn. What should I invest or just don't do anything? My biggest expense is traveling, which is quite a lot. Most of my monies are placed in fixed deposits, Belinda says.
Okay, excellent. So let me answer Belinda's question first, and then maybe you can just run through the first question. One. Okay. But so as far as Belinda's concerned, congratulations on having some level of diversification. She's got money in fixed deposits, therefore she's got money in cash. She's got money in
EPF.
EPF, that's also cash.
Which she hasn't taken out, by the way.
It's very, very good. She's got a tremendous buffer there. It's very impressive. Most people at the age of 62 have already cleaned out their EPF.
55, I think you can take everything out. Yeah. But isn't it true that EPF recommends that you take out your money? They don't want you keeping using the EPF as a savings account.
No, I don't believe that's true. EPF has maximum flexibility. We can take some money out at the age of 50 if we need to.
Second account, too.
At 55, you can take everything out if you want to. You don't necessarily have to. If you are able to manage your money, great. Most people can't. They'll go and splurge it or pass it to some relative who has a harebrained business idea, and then a lifetime of savings will dissipate. So Belinda's in great shape. So she's got the money in EPF. She's also got rental coming through. So she's got investment real estate. I would recommend that she focuses on diversifying further, that she doesn't put all her eggs in one basket, that she diversifies in three different ways, that she diversifies across asset classes, that she diversifies across geographic regions.
I mean, not just stocks in the Malaysian stock market, but in other stock markets. That's what you mean?
Not just stocks. I mean,
or be like even housing and stuff.
Yes, whatever it is, spread out across the world if possible. And lastly, you want to diversify across the timeline. Say she's got a pile of money, say, sitting in EPF, and she wants to invest. Right now, lots of markets are fairly toppish, and that's not to say they won't go even higher. But let's say she puts together a phased program of pulling out maybe 100,000 ringgit every year. I don't know how much money she has in EPF, but 100,000 is a good amount of money. 100,000 every year from EPF for the next, say, 7 years. And as the money comes out, she gradually invests it across different asset classes. That might be a good way for her to spread her risk. What was the first question?
The first question was simply somebody who's 40 rather than in their 20s and thinking about the long haul. Does it change if you're 40 as opposed to 20?
Okay, let me just say that since I'm turning 54 this year, young man, 40 years, very, very young, no problems whatsoever, plenty of time, just stay healthy. Now, for someone who's 40, he or she would have already spent a great deal of time thinking about, you know, I've toiled for a long time, I have very little to show for it. It's quite common.
I think that's a very common thing.
Yes, and at that juncture, 40 is a fabulous age. I remember it dimly in the past. but, you know, very often people at that stage would consider wanting to achieve something like financial freedom. So let me use the little time we have left to take you through a series of steps. Okay. Hopefully this will help that particular listener and lots of other people as well. Now, if you set a mega goal of reaching financial freedom, it's a big goal. Most people never achieve that simply because they never make it a written goal. So first thing you can do is with your back from the future thinking, you could set a goal and say 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, I want to achieve financial freedom. You then take that mega goal, the huge goal, you break it down to its constituent parts and you embark on a 1 or 2 decade journey. First thing you would want to do is month by month, step by step, you control and cap your lifestyle-linked operational expenses. Decide whether you want to have your lifestyle at, say, 5,000 a month or 7,000 a month or 10,000 a month. And then you gradually manage and eliminate your portfolio of debt, the various debts you're holding on. And as you focus on this process, you become very sensitive to taking on new debt, and hopefully you tend not to do that. As you do that, you'll find that your debts are whittled down. You want to then gradually channel your consistent monthly cash flow surplus. You know, you manage your cash by looking at money in, money out. If you can work hard and hopefully work smart, and you increase your money in, if you exercise a level of sacrifice, self-sacrifice, delayed gratification, you reduce your cash going out, you increase your surpluses, you can move your cash surpluses into a wealth portfolio comprising both savings and investments. Then, as the passive income from those savings and investments start out as a tiny trickle of passive income, it'll start off with interest and then dividends and then distribution, say from unit trusts and rental received directly from buildings that you own, or even rental received by a real estate investment trust that then gets transferred across to you as dividends if you own the REITs directly, or as distributions if you own your REITs through a fund. You can then set many small milestones like monthly passive income, say reaching 1 ringgit. It's not a lot, but when you get there, please celebrate. And then when you get to
celebrate 1 ringgit.
One ringgit.
Celebrate. The key issue is celebrate. Have fun. Only God knows how long we have on earth. Have fun.
I suppose that's the motivation then to push forward, right? As you celebrate, you celebrate your successes.
Yes.
And you look forward to it.
Correct.
So and that's moving on. Reinforcing the positive behavior.
Yes. And so celebrate at 1 ringgit, celebrate at 10 ringgit, celebrate at 100. Many years down the road, as you begin this process, if your passive income rises to 1,000 ringgit and then gradually 2,000, 3,000, let's say 15 years down the road, you've got passive income rolling at 10,000 ringgit a month. If you've actually chosen to proactively cap your regular expenses at 6,000 or 9,000 per month, you've actually achieved financial freedom. Your passive income is larger than your normal operational expenses. But these things cannot be done in a year. They cannot be done in 2 years. They take a long time.
A question's come in. How should we celebrate? I'm not quite sure where they're going to you, Rajan, for this piece of advice. But would you advise people not to celebrate by spending lots of money?
Spend a little bit of money. I mean, come on. The money is there to be spent. And if you are saving and investing first, then the rest of it is there for you to have an enjoyable life. It's not for you to sacrifice your everything and then have a miserable life and then die early and someone else gets your money. I was talking to Umar just now outside and I was saying that, you know, I met him and I was saying, okay, I love the fact that when I listen to him on the radio, he's talking about movies, he's talking about comics. 40 years ago, I was buying comics. I still have many of them in near pristine condition, near mint condition.
So they're worth a lot as a pop.
They might be, but I'm not letting go of them. And I'm still buying. And so for me to celebrate, I could just, you know, trot down to Singapore or fly into Singapore, go into a big bookstore, go pick up some collected Marvel series or whatever else. Stuff that I wouldn't sell. But for me, it's a celebration.
Now, you know, Belinda, thanks you, Rajan, for all the advice you've given. You brought up a very interesting point. We don't have time for it, which is, you know, giving to the next generation. How much of your own wealth should you be giving to the next generation and sacrificing yourself? I think that's a big question for another day.
You're most welcome to invite me back.
Yeah, we will, in fact. That was Rajan Devadasan, CEO of RD Wealth Creation, Securities Commission licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management. I'm Sharad Kutan with me, Brian Fernandez. We're coming up to the news and then we'll have Enterprise. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.